Now, you know, we don't go out and book big speakers or whatever to come in here. So everybody just talks from their heart. And guess guess what's in your heart? Love. God. God is love. Can you actually face the fact that you're a bubble of God? Can you face that fact? God is love. And we all have some love in us, don't we? That means we've got bubbles of God in us. Does that make you feel a little bit good about yourself? Huh? God's not something out there on a tree limb that we go to or come from. God is love. Now, if you don't believe that, read your Bible. Read your Bible. God is love. Those are the words in that Bible. So it's not mysterious, is it? Well, the person that's going to share their thoughts with us tonight is definitely a love-filled child of God. She's a mother and of wonderful children. She has a husband that loves her dearly. I love her, and you're all going to love her by the time she's done. And you say, I don't know her well. You will by the time she's done, because she's going to share her thoughts with us. And your thoughts are things. They're little bits of you. So when you get up here and share your thoughts, that means people are going to get to know the you that's inside that body. And the body is a shell we need to run around in while we're on Earth. Don't you think it's interesting that the fish have bodies so they can float in the water? God kind of knew what bodies we needed. Well, this little tiny lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight is a huge bubble of God. And that's our Gina. She's tiny and mighty. Tiny and mighty. The hardest thing is get her to let that tiny little voice come out. Because her thoughts are so good. You're going to love it.
Trust me. No. Well, good evening, everybody. Promised Millie I would try to speak up, and there's so many wonderful faces out there. This is my second talk, and I'm really not used to talking in public, so I am a little nervous, but know that God and the angels are right here with me, and it's just lovely to be here. Millie has let me talk again tonight, not because I give such good speeches, but rather because my heart is full of all the right words. In my last speech, I told you that my ambition and commitment was to hear and convey the message of God's love in every part of your life. So I wanted to talk a little bit about prayers. How do we invite God's love into our daily lives? First, by prayer. What do I mean by prayer? Prayer begins first by acknowledging what God is and his importance in our lives. Second, it is our expression of gratitude for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. Third, it is letting him know what troubles our heart. And we sure have a lot of troubles sometimes. After prayer comes good works performed by you for the true benefit of others. For example, giving money to the church and other charities and families and individuals who need our help. Next, by spreading God's word through all the gospels, the letters of the apostles, and all the saints who have devoted their lives to loving and helping their fellow men, like St. Francis. It's a big favorite prayer of mine. And finally, through energetic commitment to actually do something, to change, or make better the people and the world around you. I have to write these notes. I've got quite a few notes, and I had my youngest daughter, actually 11, put the numbers on the notes today, right before it came out. Each of these steps will be noticed by God and later by you, as these steps change your thinking and your outlook and your heart and your receptivity to God's word. Not only will God help you, he will place his hand on your shoulder so you do not stumble along his path, but also you will feel his increased presence in your heart and in your life. And everything will start to go better. Here, you manage. None of these pathways are easy to come for any of us, naturally. Each requires effort and focus. And to pray, we have to acknowledge that none of us are worthy. God has chosen to love us despite our selfish and sinful hearts. When we think about it, Jesus came to earth to forgive us and that our sins might be forgiven. So each of us are worthy only through God's love for each of us. Prayers should be filled with gratitude for his love and asking him to teach us to serve him as he deserves. He will respond by teaching us to give and not to count the cost or to fight and not to hold any grudges, yet to forgive. By working for others and without asking for any reward. He will answer our prayers in this context so that his purposes are met at the same time ours are. Each prayer should be filled of humility, gratitude, and hope. And your words don't have to be formal, not even well composed, but they must be from your heart. Prayers can be long, they can be short. It helps to withdraw mentally and emotionally from the daily bustle of our lives so that you can focus on your own relationship with God without your sleeve, you know, being tugged on and by all the burdens, bills, family members, and all the other issues in our lives. Do this enough, and it will become a habit that will transform your world and that of those around you. Jesus himself would withdraw to the tops of the mountains where in solitude he would pray to his Father. In my life, I light a candle every day to remind me of God's love. And to start my prayerful thoughts, not only to Jesus, but also to the saints and to our loved ones that have crossed over. I pray for my mother in the UK, our ministry, and the members of our church. I pray for their health, for their understanding, and for their advantage in all that they do and the good of the whole world. I really have prayed all my life. I remember as a child in Scotland creating a praying tree across the backyard beyond a railway track in a local park. I would have been about 7. Hadn't really gone to church much with my family, only during holidays and sometimes never then. But I created a praying tree, and I would know how to pray from a really young age. I found this church the night I was nursing my baby on the wall outside that night. I think some of you heard my talk in February. Each of those steps will be noticed by God and later by you as those steps change your thinking and your outlook and your heart and your receptivity to God's work. Let me just see. I wonder if I just skipped a page there after the baby part. Yes, three. Oh, yes, I think I did. Yes, sorry about that. I think I went back a page. I have prayed my whole life, and yes, with my baby on the wall that night. Millie is the answer to my prayers through her direction, her comfort, and her wise counsel. I also pray to my Indian guide, Blue Rose, for my inspiration and guidance along the winding path of my life, and to help me live and walk in peace and contentment. The most important part of prayer is to start using the principles I've just outlined, this to help you, and start quickly and effectively. Performing good works is more obvious and easier to accomplish, but often without the good effects you intend. God works and requires you to judge as best as you can the effects as your actions on others. For example, one does not give money to an alcoholic, as they will simply spend the money for more alcohol. Perhaps in this case, the good work would be to drive them to their AA meetings and to escape their alcoholism. Instead of giving money, perhaps paying a doctor's bill or tuition would be more helpful. Perhaps becoming a healer in this church is an act of love which helps people in a way that cannot be corrupt. It's just love. All of us understand these are advantages in good works. Spreading the word avoids those complications. For all it requires us only to repeat what God has told us again and again. And in effect, we are reminding others of Jesus' love and forgiveness when we spread the word. Energetic commitment requires the most effort, for it requires us to go out and do something, sometimes for years, in order to have an effect. Our efforts in these four areas will always bear fruit on earth and in heaven. God himself will be a recipient of our prayers and witness to our lives. He will always reward your loving words and actions with his love, forgiveness, and protection. My husband told me there are so many examples of this in world history and in our individual lives. Whole battles have been won, he told me yesterday. Outbreaks of diseases ended. Individually, millions of lives have been redirected from wrong to right, from hate to love, from darkness to light. Each time an unexpected moment it is in my life, it was that moment nursing my infant daughter, having an argument with my husband that night, that prayer led me to sit in front of our church. I didn't know this was a church, but I could feel God's power radiating outside this church, from this church. When I pray to discover my Indian guide, a sign appeared before me in minutes stating Blue Rose. In my own life, when Millie suggested Blue Rose as the name of my guide in classes, which I took with Millie for quite some time, I was not fully convinced about Indian guides. So the next day, I prayed for some sort of confirmation on that. I prayed for a sign which plainly said Blue Rose. It was a sign for gardening. It was in the care of a garden, and that's what I needed. I literally prayed for a sign for my Indian guide to be in my life, and as I got in the car to drive out of my neighborhood to pick up my daughter from school, I could barely believe it. There was a sign in the garden of my neighbor's home, Blue Rose Landscaping. I have the photograph, but I forgot to bring it in. I took it into class. But I knew that prayers at that moment worked. I had to walk past that Blue Rose landscaping sign every day for 9 months. That sign was there. And I walked the dogs every day, came home and left my house every day, seeing that my Indian guide and God and the angels had put that sign right for me within minutes of praying for it. Perhaps the most important aspect of each of those four ways of bringing God into our lives is trust. You must trust that God's purpose includes your purpose. You can't pray for help to commit to crime. There's a lot of evil in the world, and all of that evil is at work with God and causes most of the misery on earth. If, on the other hand, you trust good intentions to God, then he will directly intervene to make those a reality. Whether you're looking for an escape, peace within your family, the remission of a disease, or the fulfillment of love, God is always trying to help us. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's a little bit serious. Thank you.
She is just downright sweet, that little lady, isn't she? She's just sweet. She has a nice husband. I don't know. She is as gentle as her voice is. Gentle, sweet little lady. Well, I don't know. It just seems to me like life comes and goes so quickly, we don't really want to miss anything. But you do want to weigh all of your thoughts. And she ran all of that through her heart, didn't you? She didn't just come in and blindly believe. She tested and tested and tested, didn't you? And her husband is a really nice guy, but he just can't really see this as all of, as much of this as you can see.